It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into today's episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined by D-Bro and Pat Fitzmaurice. Fellas, we are talking some rookie destination predictions. We are, a week and a half away from the NFL draft here. Finally, draft season feels like it gets longer every single year. We are finally on the cusp of knowing where these guys are going to land. We are going to do some predictions of where we think those guys are going to land and then talk about what we think those landing spots will mean for their fantasy values. I do want to mention that all of our early 2024 consensus rankings and tiers can be found at fantasypros.com/rankings. That includes, you can navigate over to the rookie rankings and dynasty rankings as well. Also, later in the show, we're going to talk about some audience polls we threw out on Twitter. We're going to open up the listener mailbag. I want to also quickly mention that we will be live on our Fantasy Pros YouTube channel during both of the first two nights of the NFL draft. Be sure to check out D-Bro, Thor, Erickson, Joe, and some awesome guests across both Thursday and Friday night of the draft. Again, that's on our Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. Fellas, let's dive right in because we got a lot of players that we want to hit on. No preamble here at the top of the show. We'll start with the quarterbacks, and D-Bro, I'll start with you. I'm going to give you Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. What are your predictions for those two?
I think these are chalk picks. I think Caleb lands with Chicago. I think Jaden Daniels lands with Washington. And looking at Caleb from a fantasy lens for 2024, I mean, right now in my early rankings, he's QB 17. I'm looking at him as a mid QB2 with upside. He's in a very long tier of guys, pocket passers, and could Caleb offer more upside than that? I mean, it's possible, man, but in what we've seen out of Shane Waldron's offense gives a lot of laterality here. In the 3 years in Seattle, we're looking at offenses that rank 31st, 15th, and 17th in passing attempts. Now, if Caleb can come through with some of the rushing equity, maybe some touchdowns at the goal line, he takes those goal line carries over DeAndre Swift, or the passing rate surprises people. Could he be a QB1 this year? It's possible, but I'm much higher on Jaden Daniels, and this landing spot right now is the chef's kiss to the Washington Commanders. I mean, in my early rankings, again, I've got Jaden Daniels as my QB10. I think he is a locked-in QB1, assuming he plays all the games and the rushing equity shows out just like we think it will. But this is a perfect marriage with Cliff Kingsbury. At the height of his powers and Kyler Murray's powers in 2021, we're talking about an offensive coordinator that dialed up a top-5 deep ball rate and that type of marriage with Jaden Daniels, who last year, pull up every metric you want to, he led the nation in everything deep ball passing. So if they add more pass game weapons around him with all those picks in the second and the third round, it's wheels up, baby. Jaden Daniels will be a top 12 quarterback in fantasy this year.
So if our confidence level in Caleb landing in Chicago is a 10 out of 10, what on that scale would you say is your confidence level in the Commanders picking Jaden Daniels at QB2, second overall, as opposed to one of these other guys?
8.5. I'm extremely high, and I've been there since February. People can go check the receipts, go listen to the NFL draft show with Thor and I that we recorded in February as our first episode. Said it then, still there now.
Fitz, before I send it over to you for your quarterbacks, I want to ask, because I know that you are somewhat higher on Caleb Williams than D-Bro, and just to preface that, I know that D-Bro is not low on Caleb Williams, he's just high on other guys, but I know that you, Fitz, are extremely high on Caleb Williams. Do you have him ranked higher than a mid QB2, at least for year one, or do you think that's fair in redraft?
In redraft, I think I've got him as a high-end QB2. So I think he's going to provide a little bit of value with his legs. But as D-Bro said, I mean, Jaden Daniels is the guy who is the Konami code quarterback who can give you a lot of value with his legs. Agree with that. I still have Caleb ranked ahead of Jaden Daniels for redraft, but not by much.
Fitz, let's stick with you here for Drake May and J.J. McCarthy.
Right, so I've got Drake May going to the Patriots. It just seems improbable that the Patriots would pass on the opportunity to draft their quarterback of the future in a year when there are some really good QB prospects. So I know that there's some scenarios where people have the Patriots not taking a quarterback or trading out. I can't fathom that. And it does seem like maybe I'm not the 8.5 that DeBro is, but I'm probably a 6 out of 10. At least on Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders, I do think that's the probable outcome. Adam Schefter seems to think that's where the tea leaves point. So, I think May would be a really nice piece for the Patriots to build around. Brings just such an impressive toolkit to the table with a really strong arm, prototypical QB size at 6'4", 223, and mobility. And, Jaden Daniels is thought of as the running quarterback in this draft, but May is really a sneakily aggressive runner, and maybe that'll add to his fantasy value right off the bat. Reportedly a great kid, great family pedigree with a dad who was a quarterback at North Carolina and briefly played in the NFL, and his brother Luke was a star basketball player for North Carolina. So I think the decision-making that is sometimes seen as his weakness is probably going to get better. I mean, he's only been a 2-year college starter, just 21 years old. So I like that pick for the Patriots, if indeed they make it. And then JJ McCarthy, we have to put him with the Vikings, don't we? I do not want to have to drive 100 miles an hour up to Minneapolis to try to talk Thor off the ledge of the IDS Center, the tallest tower in Minneapolis. I don't want that to happen. So for Thor's sake, I really hope that works out. And obviously the Vikings would have to trade up to do it. I think McCarthy is now widely seen as a consensus top 6 pick. Circa Sports just came out with their draft position over-unders, and McCarthy is 5.5. But the Vikings do have the number 11 pick and the number 23 pick in the first round. They acquired that extra first-round pick, presumably so they would have the ammunition to deal up. And I don't think the Vikings are going to stay put and wait for either Michael Penix or Bo Nix. Teams with such a screaming need at quarterback tend to be proactive. And look, the Vikings cannot afford to waste Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. They have to move up and get their man.
DeBro, I want to ask you, while I give Fitz a chance to catch his breath, if the Commanders go with May at, or just anybody not Daniels, if they go with May or maybe McCarthy at 2, do you think Daniels would go to the Patriots, or do you think that would be a scenario where the Patriots would look to go away from quarterback or trade down or what have you?
I think the Patriots are going to go quarterback. I mean, I think if Daniels is there, they'll take him. I mean, you look at how he could fit Alex Van Pelt's offense, I think it'd be a fine fit. And again, I don't know if the Patriots want to get into this. Oh gosh, like what does 2024 and that QB class look like? I mean, it's basically like at right now, and I know there's going to be other guys that emerge before that draft happens, but right now it feels like it's kind of Shedeur Sanders or bust. You know, maybe Dak Prescott's out there on the wire if he doesn't perform this well, you know, well this season in Dallas. But it seems like your options to have somebody you can tie a bow on and say this is our franchise quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years would be pretty limited. So I do think that the Patriots would stick and pick, and it probably would be Daniels.
Fitz, if it plays out this way, you know, we talked about where we'd be ranking Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Where are you ranking in redraft Drake May and JJ McCarthy if they are respectively in New England and Minnesota?
Man, I might have to move McCarthy ahead of Drake May, even though I personally prefer May as a quarterback prospect. I mean, like, it is a really nice landing spot for whoever ends up in Minnesota with that pass-catching weaponry, and not such a great spot for whoever ends up with the Patriots.
I think that's probably fair. Do you agree with that, DeBro?
Yeah, I do. And right now, I've got them at hugging. I mean, they're basically hand-holding right now at QB 22 and QB 23 in my ranks. And some of that also is throwing out the range of outcomes that either one of these quarterbacks, or hell, maybe both of them, sit a few games. Maybe we get 3 or 4 games of Sam Darnold. Maybe we get 3 or 4 games of Jacoby Brissett. And if that's the case, we need to drop the ranking to be a low-end QB2.
One last question on the quarterbacks before we move off the position. Is there a quarterback prospect that you, DeBro, I'll start with you, find to be most interesting in this class? You can pick one of the four that we've already talked about. I know you're obviously high on JJ McCarthy along with Thor, but you could also look elsewhere too if you're particularly intrigued by like Penix or Bo Nix or Rattler or any of those guys.
I think going off the beaten path of the top four guys, Spencer Rattler is the one that makes at least kind of the antenna gets put up a little bit. Looking at him, he's my QB5. I actually have him ranked over Penix and Nix. And his landing spot, I mean, I think he could go in the third round of the NFL draft, and where that landing spot is could be very interesting. Like the team that just keeps screaming at me that could address a quarterback need behind Matthew Stafford is the Los Angeles Rams. He drops into the Rams offense, and you have those high and lows, and we haven't seen as much consistency from Rattler because as good as he is, he'll give you these wow moments, but there's also a lot of head-scratching moments where you're like, what are you doing? If he can limit those and really become a more consistent quarterback, you put him in Los Angeles and Matthew Stafford, what do we get? Maybe another year, maybe two left out of him, and he becomes the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford? Feeling pretty good about that.
Fitz, same question. Do you have a quarterback prospect you find most interesting in this class?
Interesting is Bo Nix, because I'm not sure what to make of him. I know a lot of people are down on him. As Thor has pointed out, he has thrown more than 400 screen passes over his college career. Granted, that's over 60 starts. I mean, I think Bo Nix has probably made as many college starts as anyone in NCAA history. But that's a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage. And things were really good for him statistically at Oregon, but he was in a very, very quarterback-friendly system. At the same time, with all that playing experience, I wonder if Nix might not have sort of Brock Purdy upside with the guy who was just sort of looked over. But Brock Purdy had all this playing time in college at Iowa State, and he made a really smooth, unexpectedly strong transition to the NFL. I wonder if maybe Nix has that in his range of outcomes, that sort of high upside, outkicking expectations performance.
If he goes with the final pick in the draft, I will call him a steal. I'll give you that as far as the comparison. Not sure beyond that. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. There are a couple of likely close games to tip things off tonight, with the Warriors favored by 2.5 points over the Kings and the Pelicans favored over the Lakers by just 1 point on DraftKings. However you plan to bet those games, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code FANTASYPROS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let's move to the running backs. And Fitz, I'll start with you here. Give me your landing spots for Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson.
Oh, let's do an in-state fit for Jonathan Brooks and give him to the Dallas Cowboys. It's a concern that Brooks tore his ACL in November and might not be ready to play right away. Although I've heard it said that he's going to be ready for training camp. We'll see, I guess. But the Cowboys obviously need someone to step in at running back right away. Tony Pollard is gone. Zeke Elliott is long gone. So there is a flashing neon vacancy sign above the running backs room at Cowboys headquarters. And although there's not a clear-cut number one in this draft, I think Brooks seems to be slightly ahead of the pack. I mentioned the release of the Circus Sports over-unders on player landing spots, and Brooks has the best landing spot. His over-under is 56.5, middle to late second round, and next closest is Trey Benson at 63.5. So Cowboys can go in-state, get this pretty dynamic running back with a three-down skill set. I think it would be a pretty good fit for them. They desperately need a playmaker at the position.
it's, you know, feels like the first five picks so far, the first four quarterbacks, and then Jonathan Brooks of the Cowboys, somewhat chalky. I think here is where we start to get into, and maybe we'll sort of circle back to the chalkiness with the wide receivers. I think the rest of the guys, though, is where it starts to get into, you could actually make a case for a number of different landing spots for these guys. So what do you think about Trey Benson?
How about the Chargers? And maybe the Chargers, you know, Jim Harbaugh goes for Blake Corum, a guy who coached at Michigan, but Benson is 216 pounds with 4.39 speed, and he catches passes. So he bears some resemblance to what Breece Hall was coming out of Iowa State as a prospect. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Benson is the high-level prospect that Breece Hall was, but with Benson, you at least get the Breece Hall starter kit, and that's got to be pretty appealing to a team that got rid of Austin Eckler and basically has just Gus Edwards now as the main guy in the running back room. Benson only averaged about 12 carries a game in both of his seasons at Florida State, so I don't know if he's cut out to be a true workhorse. Jury very much out on that, but he could be a piece for a team that we know is going to run the ball a lot with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach and Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, Worm, you know all about Greg Roman and his run-heavy tendencies.
So we're not talking about Blake Corum, at least on the list of players today. If we were, would you have put him with the Chargers, just given the connection you already referenced, or would you have gone with Trey Benson either way, just in terms of the fit you see there?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I would probably lean toward Corum as being a slightly more probable result for the Chargers, but who knows? I mean, Corum is not the athlete that Benson is, not even close. I like Corum a lot. I think he might be the highest floor running back in this class, but Benson's got the starry upside.
Debro, any quick thoughts on Brooks to the Cowboys or Benson to the Chargers before we get to your running backs?
I could see both being viable, depending on which direction. I mean, look, all the connections to the Cowboys with Brooks have already been made. I'm not going to, you know, bore anybody with those details. But I think that could definitely happen. And, you know, there's a lot of faith in Dallas and Rico Dowdle. So asking him to carry the load until Brooks is ready, or at least like shouldering some of that, is definitely a possibility. For the Chargers, yeah, I mean, I could see them going running back round three, round four, you know, pick a name out of a hat, who that's going to be. We know that it's probably not going to be Gus Edwards, and no slight to Gus, but it just screams like one of those signings that teams make just to cover their bases to make sure that, like, look, if we don't get our guy, do we have somebody that can carry the mail for us if we miss out on one of the top two, three prospects that we like at the running back position in this draft?
Debra, let's stick with you with a couple of guys that you, I think, are still higher on than consensus, Jalen Wright and Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, those guys are my RB1 and RB2 of this class. So love both these guys. And the fits might surprise people here. Looking at where these guys could land, I mean, I want to put Jalen Wright in Arizona. I think that people don't look at this, or at least it's not being talked about as like a sexy landing spot. But James Conner is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Jalen Wright has a three down skill set. He has speed and burst for days. We're also talking about a guy, much has been made of his rushing ability, but let's talk about his pass protection and that three down skill set. 59 pass pro snaps last year, allowed only one QB hit and zero sacks. That's pretty dang good to me. So looking at a team that has leaned on James Conner when he's been healthy to be their do it all back, Jalen Wright could be that guy. And again, talking about landing spots that are being underrated, what if I told you guys that Carolina is one of the sexiest landing spots that nobody's talking about right now? Because they see Miles Sanders and they see Chuba Hubbard there, and they talk about, oh, what Chuba did last year, that entire coaching staff is gone. They have no allegiances to anybody in that running back room. So taking Marshawn Lloyd, who I've said he's my RB1 of this class, he's a three down back, he's a tone setting back, he can carry the mail. He can be the guy. And if you're looking at Carolina, again, Chuba Hubbard, unrestricted free agent after 2024. Carolina can get out of Miles Sanders' contract after this season with only a $2.9 million dead cap hit. And this could be Marshawn Lloyd's entire backfield walking into next year, assuming he doesn't just win the job straight up out of camp.
I'm with you on Lloyd, by the way, just in terms of like as a running back prospect, I'm a huge fan of his. I was surprised to see the Panthers here, but you make a really compelling case about it. What do you think about that fits, both in terms of the fit, but also just like the Panthers as actually a sneaky good destination for a running back?
I agree with Tibor on that. I mean, I do think there's immediate opportunity, maybe not as a workhorse right away, but at least a foothold in a committee for whoever ends up there. And I like Marshawn Lloyd. You know, people maybe assume that Tibor and I just fight like cats and dogs over prospects because of our ongoing Keon Coleman debate. But Tibor has actually really sold me on Marshawn Lloyd, and I've like moved him substantially up. He's not my RB1. But he is higher than he was when I started the pre-draft rookie evaluation process, thanks in large part to Debro's sales pitch on him. Like size, speed, playmaking potential. Didn't really get workhorse usage at USC. And I'm not going to worry about the fumbles. I mean, Jonathan Taylor had a fumbling problem at Wisconsin. So like if, I don't know, I'm not... going to knock a prospect
put fumbles and drops in the same
issues.
Bucket, man, like where it's just like just put that in the box of crap that doesn't matter and just toss it to the side.
Well, I mean, sometimes like Quentin Johnston, his drop issues have plagued him into the NFL, so I'm not going to totally dismiss the drops thing, but like fumbles can be adjusted. We saw it when Tiki Barber came into the league and was this chronic fumbler, and all of a sudden he wasn't.
I think fumbles are probably relevant in as so far as if the coaching staff thinks you have a fumbling problem, then you won't get on the field. You know, ball security is job security. But as far as like the predictive value of it and being unable to like that being a problem in terms of fantasy value, as long as the coaching staff trusts you enough to work through it, then yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, for that first point, Worm, see Gibson, comma Antonio.
Yes,
Washington Commanders. But yeah, and sorry, and then as far as the other landing spot, right? Yeah, I like that. It's always tough to evaluate the Tennessee running backs coming out of that Josh Heupel system because it's so gimmicky, for lack of a better word. Really effective, but gimmicky. But like, I'm not totally opposed to the Alvin Kamara comps we've seen because that is one explosive dude. Likes to bounce things outside maybe a little too much. But man, there is some major big play potential with Jalen Wright.
So this is a really interesting running back class in terms of, and we've talked about this a lot, both on the Dynasty feed and on this feed when talking about rookies, about A, how much landing spot will be relevant for these guys in terms of fantasy, and B, how it feels like it might actually be a deep class in terms of like guys who can fill a role, but maybe not a ton of the obvious number one guys, you know, like a Jahmyr Gibbs and a Bijan from last year. So my question to you before we move off the position, and Debro, again, I'll start with you, is which running back has the most pure upside in the entire class?
I mean, look, the low-hanging fruit for me here is Marshawn Lloyd. I think he has the most pure upside of any guy in this class, just looking at skill set, looking at talent, looking at all those different things. But if I go off the beaten path and don't go with my RB1, which is probably just low-hanging fruit at this point, let's go pretty far down the list here, and I'll bring up a Thor favorite here with Tyrone Tracy Jr. You're talking about Antonio Gibson earlier and the skill set and a former wide receiver who... I don't know what the heck Purdue is doing and taking a former wide receiver and turning him into a running back and then saying, yes, and we're not going to use him creatively at all. No slot snaps, no route running, nothing. Just dump offs and swing passes. That skill set is very, very interesting. And where he goes in the NFL draft and if he can earn opportunity, heck, if he could be the pass catching complement to an early down guy, injuries arise, could be a very, very explosive sleeper this year.
Fitz, which running back has the most upside in your eyes?
Yeah, Tyrone Tracy has that relative athletic score in the high nines too. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting call. I'm going to stick with Jonathan Brooks though. Like we know that he was stuck behind Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, and when he finally got his chance, he looked like, you know, just a very worthy heir to Bijan Robinson in Austin. So really stunk that he got hurt late in the season and that cast a little bit of doubt on, you know, what the very beginning of his NFL is going to look like, NFL career will look like. But I'm excited about Brooks. I think he's a really good prospect.
If you guys are anything like me, you have had plenty of terrible experiences buying tickets. I have been to so many games over the years where the ticket buying experience was so bad, I almost didn't even bother going to the game. Hidden fees that raise prices by obscene amounts, not to mention when you can't even tell if you can trust the seller or how good the views are from the seats. And of course, there are never any available deals to make it just a little more affordable. Thankfully, Game Time is here to solve those problems. You shouldn't have to worry when buying tickets, and with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of the ticket buying process. I was on the app earlier today. It really stood out just how easy it is to navigate. The ticket buying experience is smooth. It's immediately clear which tickets are the cheapest, where exactly those seats are, and at the top of the screen, I can see flash deals to make sure I'm getting the absolute best price. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. And it's so simple, you can buy tickets in seconds with just two taps. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums, but I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the wide receivers. Debra, start us off.
I mean, we're just going to start at the top of the hill here, baby. Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm going to send him to Arizona. That's where everybody expects him to go. That's where he should go. And looking at his outlook from a rookie wide receiver, again, people are going to still be too low probably on him because we do this every single year. Maybe he is finally the guy that gets a little bit of respect in 2024 redraft rankings the closer we get to week one. But this landing spot is fantastic, man. I mean, it's just, it'd be him and Trey McBride to gobble up targets from Kyler Murray. And even if you want to play, so just kind of giving people a ballpark what that volume would look like, Arizona threw the ball 555 times last year, then they ranked 25th in neutral passing rate. So ballparking them for 550 passing attempts is not a ton. If we think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is really that type of guy that can earn targets at a high rate as a rookie, you give him a 25% target share, 137 targets. We're just ballparking here. That would be 13th amongst all wide receivers last year. And I think his that's probably around what his floor is. If we think the talent is real, if he earns 26%, 27%, then we're really cooking with gas here, man, where he could be top 10 in targets in his rookie season and smash expectations. Because still, we live in a world where people want to talk up these rookies every single year for the wide receiver position, but I still have lived in this world where people still talk about, well, Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch balls when he came out of college. Oh, we're ranking this wide receiver too high, that wide receiver too high. And then at the end of the year, we flip up the cards and we say, you know what? Nope, we just didn't put enough respect on their names.
Fitz, if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to Arizona at fourth overall or after some trade maneuvering or whatever, he will be ranked where for you in redraft?
As a wide receiver one. Low-end wide receiver
love
one.
It.
Probably right around wide receiver 9 or 10.
Honestly. It.
Yeah. I mean, he's already, I think, inside wide receiver one territory for me. I think he's phenomenal. I love Debro's 25% target share estimate. Like, I think that's a good baseline for him if he goes to Arizona, where he's clearly going to see a lot of targets. So I'm really excited about him. And that's a great landing spot. I kind of hope he winds up there. But like, even if he goes to the Giants, Marvin's going to rock. He's really good.
So he lands there, and I'm putting him right now. I would put him at wide receiver 10 right behind Garrett Wilson without any hesitation.
I was going to ask, I mean, Arizona is a great landing spot. If he goes to a less than stellar landing spot, if the Patriots hate the quarterbacks available and they say, let's just take Harrison. If he goes to the Giants and plays with Daniel Jones, is he like, I mean, he's not going to drop too far, right? Like, he'd still be in the wide receiver two range, I assume, Fitz.
Patriots would be the probably rock bottom landing spot, and I would still have him, I think, top 15.
Like, I want to receiver 15. Push back on that because I won't rank him any lower. Because what did we see out of Jacoby Brissett last year when he was inserted into the Commanders offense?
Yeah,
all those wide receivers played good. I'm not worried about it. Now, if let's just play out, if he were to go to the Giants, maybe he takes a dip, but he's still top 15. But the Patriots, tell me Jacoby Brissett or Drake May is going to be under center. he's just going to be a better value.
So
it's a good point. And the floor for target share in New England for Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably more like 27-28%.
Yep. So Debro, I'm really curious here to transition to the next guy you're going to talk about, Malik Nabers, because you are speaking very, very highly of Marvin Harrison Jr., essentially as highly as you can of a rookie wide receiver, and yet he's not actually your wide receiver one in the class.
He's not. Malik Nabers is my wide receiver one in the class. And unfortunately, redraft ranks, if he goes to this position, if he goes and he gets drafted by the Los Angeles Chargers, because looking at their current depth chart, we have Josh Palmer, we have Quentin Johnston, we have Darius Davis, and we have Simi Fehoko. That's the entire wide receiver room. So I know the Chargers don't really believe in passing the ball and throwing the ball, and even though they have Justin Herbert right now, putting Malik Nabers there will change the equation. My problem, and the reason I will still have him ranked lower than Marvin Harrison Jr., it all comes back to the passing volume. Are they going to throw the ball? Yes. Is Malik Nabers freaking awesome? Yes. That's why he's my wide receiver one. But again, we talk about this all the time. It is tried and true. Volume is king in fantasy. And we cannot put the same type of target expectations on Malik Nabers as we can with Marvin Harrison Jr., assuming he goes to Arizona and assuming Malik goes to the Chargers. If that be the case, I mean, we're talking about 120, maybe 130 targets, not because a neighbor's talent is not legit, but because we still will have an offense that is run by Greg Roman, and we know that that passing rate is going to be bottom 10, and they are going to try to run the ball as much as humanly possible. So I still love Neighbors, and he would still be a top 24 wide receiver for me, but not in the ilk in the sense of target ceiling like Marvin Harrison Jr.
Do you really think that the Chargers, given just every quote we hear from Jim Harbaugh about the offensive line and the fact that Greg Roman is their offensive coordinator, you think they would go, I know the receiver room is abysmal, but you think they would go receiver over like a Joe Alt?
Do I think they're going to draft a tackle? Yes, I do. The thing is if you flip this equation and say, okay, round one tackle versus round two wide receiver, is it a strong case to make? Sure, we can all talk about Joe Alt and he's awesome. This tackle class is also really freaking good. And could we have the Chargers say, you know what? The 2v2 here is Neighbors and a second round tackle. Maybe we trade into the back end of the first round and get one of these tackles that probably goes there and saying, I'm staring at you, Tyler Guyton. I'm staring at you, Samata Ia, one of those guys, and saying Neighbors and that combination of tackle versus round two wide receiver and Joe Alt, I could honestly see it. I really could. If we didn't have a tackle class as deep as this one is, then yes, I would adamantly agree.
Fitz, Malik Neighbors in LA, obviously. Again, we've talked a lot about what that offense will look like in terms of the scheme, but you're getting a guy that Debro is comping to Ja'Marr Chase playing with Justin Herbert. That's pretty enticing. Where would you rank him in redraft specifically?
Yeah, more like mid-range wide receiver two, like somewhere in the wide receiver 18 range, give or take a few spots. So, I don't totally hate that spot, even though the Chargers project to be run heavy, just because he would be in line for a pretty healthy target share, I think, and because those targets would be coming from a really good quarterback.
Debro, give me the last receiver here, the third, although it's, you know, it sounds disparaging to call him the third in the class when it's a ridiculous class and he would be number one in many other classes, Roma Dunze.
I can't even call him the third wide receiver. I'm just going to call him 1C. Yeah. He is the number three guy and the number one tier. And yes, Roma Dunze, I'm going to send him to the New York Giants. Now, again, we're talking about a barren depth chart. They have Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton, Wanda Robinson, and Isaiah Hodgins. And that's about it as far as the top end of that depth chart. Now, is this probably the worst, one of the worst outcomes for Roma Dunze? Because we put him in a sexier spot, but this is where I think he probably goes. Because I don't think, like, if he falls down the board past New York Giants, some team's trading up for him. So I look at this landing spot and say, okay, if we get healthy Daniel Jones, what does this look like? Well, we've seen him highly target wide receivers, and this is just a bet on talent. Like, I'm old enough to remember whenever people said, oh, well, A.J. Brown's not going to do great because he landed in Tennessee. I'm betting on talent with wide receiver prospects. You earn targets. Targets are earned. It's a function and a result of talent, and Roma Dunze has talent for days. Stick him in any other draft class. Stick him in last year's draft class. I would have had him as the clear wide receiver one over JSN, and I still love JSN.
So Fitz, you know, Marvin Harrison, top 10, given the landing spot. Malik Neighbors, mid round two, given the landing spot. Roma Dunze, also round two, given that landing spot.
Wide receiver two, you mean? Like low end?
Wide receiver two.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I'm somewhere around wide receiver 24, sounds about right. Yeah. And it's too bad. Roma's terrific. I mean, Thor's comp for him is Davante Adams. But it just seems like he's almost destined to have a worse landing spot than either Harrison or Neighbors. I think he goes in that 6-9 range, and barring a trade with someone going in there to get him, it's going to be either the Giants, who have the QB issues, the Titans, who already have Hopkins and Ridley, the Falcons, who already have London and Pitts, or the Bears, who already have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. So, I know it would kind of crush Bears fans. A lot of the Bears fans really want Roma Dunze, and I totally get it. Keenan Allen's not going to be around forever. And, you know, that'd be such a nice guy to pair with Caleb Williams. So I don't know. Like, Giants are definitely not the sexiest landing spot, but that landing spot does make a lot of sense.
I wanted to go extremely spicy with this, but I had to go realistic. I really wanted to throw caution to the wind and say, you know what? Screw it. the Buffalo Bills are trading up. They're getting Rome. That's where we're going, baby. Like, I wanted to pull that trigger so badly for Rome Odunze, but it's, you just talk about the realistic outcomes. Like, could it happen? I hope so, because if it happens, he's going to be up there right next to Marvin Harrison Jr., probably as a wide receiver one or top 15 guy, like straight up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point. If he does go to the Bears, by the way, quickly, because I know that's a place where he's mocked a lot. Maybe in redraft, it'd be sort of similar to JSN, where it's like, okay, there's two options here already. Yep. Also, it is a rookie quarterback. But in Dynasty, like, even I'm not dropping him even the slightest if he goes to the Bears with those other two guys. I'm like, if anything, I'm even more excited in Chicago because he gets to be paired with Caleb Williams. And I think he complements DJ Moore really well. And again, Keenan Allen is not going to be around forever. So I would be really thrilled about that from a Dynasty perspective, even if it might hurt him slightly in redraft. Fitz, you've got three receivers here as well. Let's start with the guy that not everybody has wide receiver four, but I think most people have wide receiver four, and that's Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, I think most people do because of the exquisite size-speed combination he offers. And it's funny, people perceive the step down from the Harrison Neighbors Odunze tier, and oh, what a horrible fall all the way down to Brian Thomas, who looks like he rolled off the assembly line of a wide receiver factory, 6'2 and a half, 209 pounds, 4.33 speed. I want to put him on the Colts in the middle of the first round with pick number 15. The Colts already have their big possession receiver in Michael Pittman Jr. They have their quick slot guy with Josh Downs. What they need is a big, fast playmaker who can let Anthony Richardson stretch out that big arm. And Alec Pierce just really hasn't shown enough in that role over his first couple of seasons. So let's put Brian Thomas with the Colts.
Debro, correct me if this has not been updated, but it looks like on the site, your rookie wide receiver rankings, for Dynasty rookie drafts, you have Brian Thomas wide receiver 9. So that's significantly lower than consensus. If he goes top 15 to the Colts, would that, you know, would you raise him up higher if he's an Indy?
No, that's actually with the assumption that my landing spot in my mock draft that I wrote, I think it came out a few weeks ago, I put him to Indy, and that's where I think he goes. But we still have volume concerns, and as much as I love Anthony Richardson and I have him as a top five, top six quarterback for this upcoming season, still we would be dealing with some volume concerns, although I can make the case that I think the Colts are going to be a top three, top five neutral pace team, and those volume concerns could be a little bit overrated or overblown, should I say. But like with Brian Thomas, this is not a shade at his talent or the upside, but if you look at the analytical profile, it's not nearly as good as people want to prop it up. I think a lot of it, he gets the steam of being with LSU and Jane Daniels. Is he awesome? Sure, I can make you the case of that. But the reality is he's also a much more limited player than some of the other wide receivers I have ranked above him in this terms of like his route running. Can he still hit based off of the deep ball and based off of those splash plays? Absolutely. Like, I think, just say he goes to Indy, I would have him as like a low-end wide receiver 3, maybe high-end wide receiver 4. And there's probably some upside in that ranking. So I still like the kid, but I can't rank him above Ladd McConkey. I can't rank him above Ricky Pearsall as wide receivers. I just look at, they are much more the complete package than Brian Thomas Jr.
Fitz, I want to hear your thoughts on the next guy because it's Troy Franklin, who Debro is very high on. So I'll be curious to hear thoughts as well after you give your landing spot.
Yeah, I'm not quite as high as Debro. In fact, I think the two of us are probably like flip-flopping as far as where we have Troy Franklin and Brian Thomas in our respective rankings. So I'm putting Troy Franklin with the Carolina Panthers because I think that Troy Franklin probably slides into the early part. Maybe he goes in the late first, but I think he's going to slide to the Panthers with that pick at the top of the second round. The Panthers need multiple receivers, and they desperately need an infusion of speed because Adam Thielen and Jonathan Mingo are not going to be the lid lifters you want. Franklin's speed is beyond question. Like, he ran a 4.41 at the combine, and I don't know about you, Debro, but I actually thought that was slower than I was expecting him to run. I thought it was going to be sub 4.4 because his speed at Oregon just showed up constantly. Like, he plays fast and he made a lot of big plays with the Ducks. He made Bo Nix look really, really good. So Bryce Young could use that sort of help in Carolina, and I think he'd be a pretty good fit there. But again, as with Brian Thomas, I don't know if that's a great fit from a fantasy perspective. Like Thomas, we have the whole thing where I think the Colts could be just as run heavy, if not run heavier than the Chargers. And whereas whoever goes to the Chargers isn't going to have a lot of target competition, Thomas has Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, and Troy Franklin. I mean, you're just looking at kind of a low output passing offense. So, those aren't great fantasy landing spots, but I think they're good player team fits.
D-Bro, if Troy Franklin goes to Carolina, you will rank him where?
As a wide receiver 4 with upside to be more, because another year older of Adam Thielen, I don't think that things get better for him. I think he's a better locker room guy than he is going to be on the field. And I know I'm talking about a guy that caught so many passes last year, but look who was around him. I mean, we're talking about DJ Chark. We're talking about Jonathan Mingo, who was and is what was a terrible second round pick. I was never in on all the Mingo hype. You get Troy Franklin, they go to Carolina. Mingo's going straight to the bench. And really, we're talking about Franklin is competing probably with Deontay Johnson, maybe not week one, but middle of the season, and is probably a player we're going to be looking towards the middle of the season. If Carolina can improve as an offense, he's probably one of those guys we're going to earmark and say, you need to be trading for him in the middle of the season because the stretch run could be fantastic.
All right, Fitz, you have Brian Thomas to the Colts, Troy Franklin to the Panthers. Where are you sending Xavier Worthy?
All right, well, those first two were not the sexiest fantasy matchups, but I'm going to give you one here. Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of the first round. And this has been one of my favorite player team love connections for a while. The Chiefs are obviously a franchise that values speed at wide receiver more than most, and it's actually kind of led them astray at times. I mean, they signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling in free agency, gave him way more money than he deserved. They traded for Kadarius Toney. They drafted and later reacquired Mecole Hardman, although I guess he just scored the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl for them, so maybe not such a bad move after all. But those are fast players who have shown that they're incapable of being consistently effective wide receivers. Xavier Worthy is obviously fast. He had that record-setting 4.21 at the Combine. But Worthy is also a really good football player. Like, he showed up at the University of Texas as an 18-year-old freshman and had 62 catches for 981 yards and 12 touchdowns. He's a good route runner, a tough kid. Like, he played through a broken hand in 2022. Give Patrick Mahomes a lightning-fast receiver who's an actual football player. Give mad scientist Andy Reid a speedy playmaker like Xavier Worthy. And give Xavier Worthy the perfect ecosystem, a great quarterback, mad scientist head coach. Like, this is just too good a fit.
D-Bro, keep it quick, but your thoughts on Worthy to the Chiefs?
Andy Reid just got his new DeSean Jackson, baby. How could we not be over the moon for that? I'm all in. I love Worthy. He's my wide receiver 5 of this class. People talk about the conversation starts with the speed. Conversation should start with his route running. Dude's a stud.
A couple of questions here on the position before we move off the receivers. First question, which wide receiver outside the top 10 in our Dynasty rookie rankings has the best chance to be this year's Puka Nacua if they land in the right situation? Puka was wide receiver 14 heading into last season for a reference. And to be clear, we are not saying this guy will be Puka Nacua. It was historic what we saw last year. But the best chance to be the closest facsimile of what Puka was as a guy going in that range that really, really outperformed his value early on. Fitz, I'll start with you.
Is Pearsall outside the top 10?
Yeah, I was going to say, Worm, can we get a layout of the top 10?
I will run through that for you. 1 through 10, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall is 9, and Javon Baker is 10.
I was going to go with Baker.
Oh, man.
The next few, just to throw some names out there, A.D. Mitchell, Jermaine Burton, Xavier Leggett, Roman Wilson, Johnny Wilson, Malik Washington, Jalen Polk. This is in no particular order, just names that are sticking out.
Yeah, I mean, like A.D. Mitchell, I think, is the obvious one, but I don't love A.D. Mitchell's game. So I'm maybe going to say Xavier Legette, and I know he has a bizarre production profile, just an absolutely bizarre, where he was just a one-year wonder, and it wasn't until very late in his college career when he was kind of an old prospect. But I don't know, I think there's some explanations for that. Man, I would have to go back and dig through as to why he maybe didn't pop until late. But he popped in a big way, and he is a specimen, big and fast. So I think he's a guy who could maybe make an interesting transition to the NFL and be a producer right away.
D-Bro, I know you wanted to be able to pick Javon Baker. You cannot.
I wanted it so bad.
So who is your pick?
I wanted Javon Baker so bad. That's why I was like, please let him be 11 or 12. Please. If we'd done this about a week or two ago, maybe he would have. I could have snuck him in here.
Well it's
but
your
considering
fault.
Considering I can't.
It's your fault because the other guys have him past 10, but you're raising the average having them 6.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, look, again, this is my own fault, but Jermaine Burton's the guy I'm going to bring up here. And I know the off-field concerns are legit, and I've heard from various spots that he's probably going to fall in the NFL draft. But if he lands in a spot and he gets early opportunity, he is the guy out of this class that could ascend to the top of an NFL depth chart as far as the receiving talent. And because, look, last year at Alabama, top 30 in PFF receiving grade and yards per route run. He's being pigeonholed as a field stretching only guy. I adamantly disagree with that. I think Alabama used him in the absolutely wrong role. He's got route running chops for days, and he can win at all three levels. Give me Jermaine Burton, man.
Last question here on the wide receivers. Any other wideouts outside of anybody we've mentioned already, just as a general dynasty sleeper candidate? It doesn't need to be somebody you're predicting to be next year's Puka, but just a general sleeper. I really like Pearsall, like you guys mentioned. I like Malik Washington further down the line. Anybody stand out to you, Fitz?
Malachi Corley, sort of a polarizing guy because a lot of his catches came behind the line of scrimmage. Like he is from the same mold as Deebo Samuel and Rashee Rice. Like, get him the ball quickly and then let him work his magic after the catch. So, like, a lot of people ding him in their prospect rankings because he's not a proven route runner. And yeah, he's got a lot to learn in that capacity, but that's not really how you're going to use him. You're going to draw up ways to get this guy the ball quickly near the line of scrimmage and let him do his thing, because, like, he is this thickly built, quick, like running back after the catch. So Corley's really interesting. And, you know, if anyone wants to go back, like watch some of the highlights from Corley against Ohio State last year. Really interesting player.
D-Bro, any sleepers you want to highlight before we move on to the tight ends?
Yeah. You want to limit me to one here, Worm? Or can I throw you a two? Okay. All right. So if it's one guy I got to bring up here, I'm going to go with... I like Malik Washington a lot. I'm going to go way down the board here and talk about a guy that you can get the fourth or fifth round rookie dynasty drafts. Let's go Luke McCaffrey. I love his game. Ask him to play the slot. I think he can get open. He can be that underneath option. I think the other part that we haven't talked about a ton and really, I think the draft community as a whole, he tested way better than I think anybody thought he was going to go out and do. So looking at the athleticism, looking at a player that transitioned from quarterback to wide receiver, put up good numbers, not amazing numbers. I like his film a lot more than the analytics. I think he could surprise some people.
Fitz, let's go to the tight ends. We know that Brock Bowers is tight end one, but we don't know where he's going to land. What's your prediction?
Oh, I'm gonna try to live the dream here, Norman. I'm gonna put him with the Bengals, and the Bengals currently pick 18th in the first round, and Brock Bowers is not gonna make it to them at number 18. But can you guys imagine a Bengals offense with Joe Burrow throwing to Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Brock Bowers? Like, how do you stop that passing game? Defensive coordinators would have nightmares trying to plan for a game against the Bengals. I understand that a first-round trade-up for a tight end seems ludicrous, but Bowers is a special tight end prospect, and the Bengals need a tight end who can help out as a pass catcher, and no, Mike Gesicki is not going to be the answer.
So, you know, tight ends, even tight ends that go in the first round, often take sometimes a year, sometimes multiple years to really fully acclimate to the NFL. Obviously, Bowers is one of the best, you know, prospects we've seen at the position in some time, But just given what the position looks like historically in year one, even in this dream landing spot, where would you be ranking Bowers in redraft?
You know, for fantasy, it's not the best landing spot because of the target competition, but still probably tight end 8, tight end 9. I think I'd still rather have him than, say, David Njoku.
Okay. Debro, same question. Where would you be ranking Bowers if he goes to, you know, maybe it's not an ideal landing spot for fantasy, but for real life?
Even if he goes to Cincinnati, I don't care. He's going to be top 12. His floor is tight end 12, and I think the conversation for him starts, like Fitz said, at tight end 8.
Debra, which tight end do you think you want to talk about here for your prediction?
Well, let's talk about Jatavion Sanders, and let's send him to the team that where the current incumbent starter has been a Jedi Master. He has been teaching young Padawans along his career all the way through, and they go on to have successful fantasy and NFL careers. Let's send him into Washington. Let him learn under Zach Ertz, who, again, we're drawing connections here. Cliff Kingsbury utilizes the tight end a ton. Zach Ertz, we saw it work out well for Dallas Goedert under his tutelage. We saw it work out pretty well last year for Trey McBride. So the target competition past, what, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson? Jatavion Sanders could be a guy that's competing with Zach Ertz for the third spot in that target tree in week one.
Fitz, Sanders in Washington, where would you have him ranked?
Like it for redraft, still probably, low end TE2. Just wouldn't be that exciting. And like, I get it. I mean, I like JT Sanders as a prospect, but I just don't see a lot of potential for year one impact if he goes there.
Not Debro. Sanders is the kind of consensus tight end too, which again, it's not a one tight end class, but there's a clear tier one, a significant drop off. Sanders is kind of the consensus tight end too, but I know there are other guys you like better than him.
Yeah, there's other guys that I like better than him. I mean, Benson Hott is my tight end two of this class. Eric All is on a weekly basis fighting Jatavion Sanders for the tight end 3 spot, and people could be surprised by that, but I'm kind of giving a little bit of foreshadowing here with that.
Any tight ends you want to hit on, Fitz, that you think are sleepers beyond Bowers and Sanders? I mean, do you agree with All and Sanat or anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, those are my top four, the guys we mentioned, Bowers, Sanders, Sanat, All, and, the other guy, maybe Jaheim Bell of South Carolina. Interesting playmaker. No, like, not a true tight end, sort of almost like, definitely like move tight end, H-back type hybrid, but he could be an interesting piece in a passing game. Really athletic, so I think he should be, on the radar. Same with maybe Cade Stover of Ohio State.
Yeah, I do like Bell. I wonder if he could be, an offense like San Francisco, I think, would find a really interesting way to use him. So I'll be curious to see where he lands. Let's give some quick bold predictions here. This can be about any draft prospects of your choosing, where they get drafted, how they finish in fantasy this season, what level they reach in their career, whatever bold prediction you want to throw out for one of these prospects. Fitz, I will start with you.
I'm going to say Michael Penix goes much earlier than expected, somewhere in the teens in the first round. And right now, the over-under on draft position for Penix is 32.5. Bo Nix also has the same over-under for draft position. So 50-50 whether he goes in the first round. He's going in the first round. I realize there are medical concerns here. Penix has torn his right ACL twice, but there is no way the NFL lets this sort of arm talent slide out of the first round. And with the number of QB needy teams in the league, I think Penix is going to go inside the top 20. Prototypical pocket passer who can step into an NFL offense right away. And as I said, worlds of arm talent. While he might not have the dual run pass ability that some of the other QB prospects have, it's not like he's going to be a sitting duck. This dude ran a 4.58 at his pro day. So obviously you're not going to want a guy who's torn his ACL twice to run around a lot, but he's not going to be Philip Rivers either. Some NFL team is going to aggressively draft Michael Penix.
Debro, give me your bold prediction that you kind of alluded to during the tight ends.
Yeah, kind of gave some foreshadowing there, but look, I think, going back to the Eric All conversation, he's had six top 30 visits so far. So it's not just me that loves Eric Hall. NFL teams are sniffing around him as well. And one of those teams is the Miami Dolphins. So I think Eric Hall gets drafted by the Miami Dolphins. And when it's all said and done, yeah, it's pretty good. When it's all said and done, Eric Hall will be the second best tight end, the TE2, the clear tight end 2 behind only Brock Bowers from this NFL draft class. And if people don't believe that, go check out the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Show. Thor and I talked about tight ends ad nauseum, but the quick highlight reel, the cliff notes on him is the last 2 years, we've seen this guy play and garner at least 20 targets. He's finished 10th and 3rd in yards per route run. Last year, before he tore his ACL, he was 7th amongst all tight ends in receiving yards, 11th in missed tackles forced, and still amongst all tight ends with at least 10 man coverage targets, he led the freaking nation in yards per route run versus man coverage. Eric Hall is the truth.
Let's open up the listener mailbag. We got this question on Twitter asking about the sons of legends. Obviously, we've talked about Marvin Harrison Jr. already. These guys are not quite as highly rated as Marvin Harrison Jr., but Brendan Rice and Frank Gore Jr. asking kind of about best team fits, what rounds to draft them, general thoughts on these guys who are obviously the son of Frank Gore and, of course, Jerry Rice. Fitz, what do you think about those two?
Brendan Rice would probably be in a different draft class, maybe a top 15 guy. I think he's just outside my top 20 at wide receiver. He's interesting. Like, I think he could land as maybe some NFL team's wide receiver 4, probably to start off. Like, he's going to make a roster, caught a lot of touchdowns at USC, pretty just solid all around game. He's got pretty good size. I think he's like 6'2 something. So, you know, a pretty decent prospect. I have a little less hope for Frank Gore Jr. just because he's undersized and not especially athletic. That's not a real good combination. Although, to his credit, he was a workhorse in college and he catches passes. So, you know, a guy who could potentially be a sort of jack of all trades for a team if he can stick.
What do you think, Debro, about both Rice and Gore?
I think Rice is going to get drafted probably at round 5, maybe late round 4 with his last name, probably round 5 guy. Looking at some teams with, if Carolina does not address wide receiver early and things like that, I could see him going in the 140s to Carolina. I could also see him going maybe to Washington at 152. I'm just not enamored with Brendan Rice. Like, he's a good but not great prospect. He wins a lot in his routes through just sheer physicality. I don't know if he's going to be able to separate and really that type of skill set play up when everybody's super athletic, everybody's super physical. He lets cornerbacks into his body a lot and really leans on the upper body strength to win. So I look at him, I'm with Fitz, probably settles in as a wide receiver 4 on an NFL depth chart. Frank Gore, let's send him to the NFC West. And no, I'm not going with the San Francisco 49ers. But if he doesn't fall out of the draft altogether and become a priority UDFA, I could see him going to a team that really could use a guy to back up their starter. And again, we're going to draw parallels here. A starter that came from nowhere, being a late round draft pick himself. Let's send him to the Rams, 213th overall.
That's no fun, D. I thought you said NFC West. I thought you were going to send them to the 49ers. Let's get both of these guys on the 49ers.
That would be
The 49ers got the 211th and the 215th overall. So maybe they just sandwich them together and draft both of them.
Perfect.
Let's look at some of our audience polls here to wrap up the show. We threw out these questions on Twitter. So thank you, everybody, for voting in these polls and sharing your opinion. What I want to do is I want to read the question to you guys, give you the options, and I want you guys to sort of pick who you would pick and maybe guess at what you think the audience picked here, and then I'll share the results. First question, which of these quarterbacks carries the biggest bust potential? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May? Debro?
Ooh, geez. Fitz is going to hate this. I'm going to say Drake May. I just see a lot of Sam Howell in that game. I look at his analytical profile, and there's holes you could poke in it. I love you, Fitz, but I think it's Drake May.
Fitz, what do you think?
I'll predict. I'm trying to get into the heads of our users. I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels.
Interestingly enough, This was very, very close. It was the poll that got the most votes, and they were all very close to each other. Caleb Williams got the most votes at 34.5%. That's clearly just got to be the hype is so high that, you know, there's nowhere to go but down.
No, it's got to be the pink phone is what it's got to be.
Yeah, maybe that too.
I mean, I see the range of outcomes for Caleb Williams. I mean, that's why people hated it when I said I had him at QB3 for this rookie class. It's like, there is a range of outcomes for Caleb Williams, so I understand it. I see it because I got a lot of hate because I didn't have him at QB1.
It was Caleb 34.5% of the vote, Jaden 33.2% of the vote, and Drake May 32.3% of the vote. So all very, very close.
Wow. Split hairs.
Really, really. Like a couple of votes in either direction could have changed that. Next question.
I love that you didn't put JJ McCarthy in there because that would have been everybody. Oh, it's going to be JJ. It's going to be bust.
I didn't come up with these questions. It was John, our producer.
Then thank you, John. I appreciate
you. Yes, I think that is probably accurate. Which of these running backs has the most upside to succeed at the next level? Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd. We already talked about this a bit in terms of your guys' picks in the running back section. So I'm curious who you think the audience picked. Debra?
I think the audience picked Trey Benson. Brooks is, he can't take the number one spot here with the knee injury coming in the league. Can Fitz? He?
I agree with Debra. I think the audience probably got geeked up about seeing Trey Benson blaze that sub 440 time at, well over 200 pounds.
Well, and some people have used Trey Benson's name, and I adamantly disagree with this. They've used his name in the same sentence as Breece Hall, so I think it's probably going to be Benson.
I will go from the bottom to the top on this one. Marshawn Lloyd, 7.4%. Okay. Jalen Wright, 17.2%. Trey Benson, 29.4%. Jonathan Brooks, 46% of the
really?
Vote. So the hype was there for Brooks, not Benson. Or the other guys that that D-Bro quite likes. So that was, I'm not necessarily surprised that Brooks was the biggest vote getter there. I was surprised that it was kind of a dominant win in that poll, given the state of the class. Speaking of the running backs, the next question was, will the first running back be drafted inside the top 45 picks? And, you know, Fitz, you referenced earlier, or it might have been D-Bro, I forget who, one of you guys referenced the prop betting market is in like the mid 50s, let alone the mid 40s. So this probably 50, was too 56 high.
56 and a half.
Brooks,
yeah.
So 10. And I'll just tell you the results on this one. Yes, got 41.3% of the vote. That's actually more than I expected. No, was the winner with 58.7% of the vote. So people do not think a running back will be drafted inside the top 45 picks. I tend to agree with that. On the wide receivers, which team needs to draft a wide receiver the most? Your options are the Bills, the Chargers, the Cardinals, and the Panthers. Fitz, what do you think the audience voted for? And what would you say?
Bills.
Bills for both. Debra?
Yeah. Bills for both.
Bills did win this one, 39.9% of the vote. Panthers came in last at 9.2% of the vote. Chargers and Cardinals were very close, 25.8% and 25.2%. Chargers slightly ahead, but that it was not a consensus as far as which of those two came in behind the Bills. But the Bills were the clear choice. Would you guys say, I mean, the Chargers need a wide receiver more, but I think we'd be more excited about the landing spot with the Cardinals given the offense. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, it's fair.
Oh, well, I mean, it's just, we know it's going to be, like, if the Cardinals do get a wide receiver, it's probably going to be a really good one in the first round, whereas the Bills are going to have to wait, most likely, unless they do aggressively trade up for Romo Dunze, which would be the dream.
What a fun draft night trade that would be. Which of these wide receivers has the most upside? Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, and Troy Franklin. Fitz, what do you think the audience said on this one?
What did they say? I'll say they said Brian Thomas Jr.
Debra?
Yeah, I think it's between BTJ or Ladd McConkey.
Who would you have voted for, Fitz?
I would have voted for Xavier Worthy.
So Thomas did win. He got 44.6% of the vote. Worthy got 26.6%. McConkey got 17.7%. Really? And Troy Franklin got 11.1%. So 44, 26, 17, and 11 on the percentages. And then last question here. Will there be more than five trades in the first round this year? Fitz, what do you think? Yes or no?
More than five. I'm going to say no, and I would guess our audience also said no.
Debra?
I think five is a really good line. I'm definitely taking the under. I think four is plausible. I don't think we get above five. That would six trades.
Yeah,
like
that'd be a lot.
If the line was like four and a half, yeah, you could.
We need four to hook.
Five, to say more than it's tough. The audience agreed. About 2/3 of the audience said no. About 1/3 said yes. We will wrap. About
1/3 wants to see the world burn.
Yeah, that would make for a fun night. Although I don't know what historically the number actually is. I haven't gone back and looked to see what it like what the right number is. It just feels like five is a good line. I'm not sure what it actually should be. We will wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into this long episode on The Rookies for Fitz and D-Bro. I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.